This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley gets tough on the Palestinians, and we've got an open line Friday taking your calls on a variety of topics.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
It's totally up to the Palestinians at this point. If the leadership of the Palestinians came to the table, automatically you're going to have a peace plan. Negotiations are going to happen. Neither side is going to like it, but the Palestinians have more to gain than Israel ever will.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
And so all they have done is had their hand out asking for money, badmouthed the United States, not come to the table on the peace deal. Why would we have a PLO office? Why would we continue to fund the Palestinians?
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Now, most of the show today is an open line Friday. We're 53 days out from the midterm elections. What's at stake? Every single House seat, along with 35 Senate seats. That 35 includes two special elections, one in Minnesota, one in Mississippi. There are 26 Senate Democrats or Democrat seats at stake, and 9 Republican incumbent seats at stake. And so, again, whether a Republican held the seat, there's a new Republican running, 9 Republicans, traditionally Republican seats, 26 seats held by Democrats are up. So there's been an increased focus on the U.S. Senate as well, with many on the left thinking they've got it under control with the House of Representatives. We'll talk to Than Bennett about whether or not the left has gone a little bit too far in taking things. Are they taking things for granted, or are they really out there spending the money? I've seen some of the fundraising reports, but as you know, money gets you to a certain extent. You have to be very strategic in how you use it, where you spend it, what states what kind of candidates you have, and what states you are focusing in on, and even on the House side, what congressional districts you are focusing in on. So we'll get into that as well at 1-800-684-3110. You know, we did that big FOIA on the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East. It's called UNRWA. And we filed a FOIA with our government to understand why, what the specific numbers were of actual refugees left in this program, because UNRWA reports, and that's because they have twice changed the definition of what it means to be a refugee. UNRWA reports, remember, we've cut the funding to UNRWA now through the Trump administration. But under UNRWA, you see this definition, which is 5.2 million, they claim, to still have 5.2 million refugees around since 1948. Now, how do they get to that number? Well, they've changed the rules of what a refugee is defined as. So now it includes all descendants of Palestinian males, regardless of whether or not they live somewhere else and have citizenship somewhere else. Legally adopted children, regardless or not, they have been granted citizenship anywhere else. That's not even how the UN would define refugee. In fact, if you had citizenship somewhere else and were seeking refugee status, and you got out of the country you were worried about, and you got citizenship in a second country, a third country is not going to let you in if that second country is a safe place where you got citizenship. And that's part of the principles of immigration and refugee and asylum law. That being said, you see even within the UN who gets treated differently, the Palestinians. You want to hear what's shocking? How many actual refugees they believe still exist? Somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000. So you'd think with that $1.4 billion that they got used to getting in UNRWA, all those people should have been settled by now and gotten citizenship. In fact, a good example is a group of refugees counted as refugees, Palestinian refugees, who all have citizenship, 2 million of them in Jordan, the country of Jordan. So they have Jordanian citizenship for 60 plus years, 70 years now, and they're still considered to be refugees. You really think those people, by the way, are getting the money? This money, these billions of dollars? Absolutely not. This is corrupting the top leaders. But it is an open line Friday. Politics, UNRWA, Israel, this Palestinian issue. I mean, we've been attacked on it by a lot of the foreign policy media. They don't like pointing out the truth about the Palestinians and the Palestinian people. 1-800-684-3110. We'll get into all and any of your questions today on Jay Seculo Live.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We have a new op-ed up by my dad, Jay Sekulow. It's up in the Hill. Why President Trump is correct in defunding a controversial UN agency, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, known as UNRWA. UNRWA, which redefined what it actually meant to be a refugee. There were actually, if you believe the numbers, 20 to 30,000 Palestinian refugees. That's all left since 1948. And yet this agency takes in $1.4 billion, and the U.S. pays a third of it. Let me say a third of it, because the Trump administration has said no more to our $600 million contribution. But you know why they can define refugees so broadly into the sense they say there's 5.2 million? They even include people, one, who weren't born at the time. So if you were a descendant of a Palestinian refugee male or an adopted child, regardless of whether or not you've been granted citizenship elsewhere. So even if you're someone who has grown up somewhere else, you have full citizenship, you're adopted by a family, that's wonderful. You have citizenship in the country you're adopted in, or even the territory you're adopted in that's independent. That is still a refugee under their definition. But it goes actually further. Under our law, it's very, very specific. If you get a new nationality somewhere else along the road of trying to claim refugee status, in fact, oftentimes if you stop in a place where you could have claimed refugee status but continued on to the United States in our law, that throws your case out the door. That's not okay. So if you were able to travel anywhere else where you could be safe and you were before an immigration judge and they knew that and they would ask you, well, why didn't you do it there? You must have some other motive, some other reason why you want to be in this country specifically, because if you were truly just running for your life, the concern would not have been, oh, America, I have to get to America for this. And that is under the refugee law. I just want to give an example to people, and then we're going to start taking phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I we will talk about any topic you'd like to talk about today. We've got a number of issues involving, obviously, the elections coming up, the midterm elections. We haven't gotten to a lot of that yet. We can break that down for you with 53 days to go. But in Jordan, there are 2 million Palestinian refugees. Guess what? All 2 million have been given Jordanian citizenship. So they're Jordanians. They're not refugees. They are now full citizens of the Kingdom of Jordan. And because of that, they should no longer have refugee status or be counted as a refugee. Under all forms of international law and national law, but of course at the UN, when it comes to the Palestinians, it's kind of like abortion here in the United States, it's a totally different totally different system of law applies, right? You get totally different definitions apply, and they do this without even acknowledging how absurd it is, because again, they're so dead set on protecting this, well, one, UN pile of money, but two, this idea that there are these millions of Palestinian refugees out there that we all must help. 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to get right to our team here to comment on that. So hold those thoughts on UNRWA, guys. But David is calling in from Charleston, South Carolina, on line four with a storm update. And David, I was about to do the same thing. I wanted to update people who are in our listenership area. We're all across the country, but for those who are being affected. So David, let us know, how is it down there?
Well, hi, Jordan, and Jay. I know he's not there right now, but and thank you for all you do. It's changed so many times. We really don't know what's going to happen. It's down, like you said, to a Category 1, but, you know, it could go back out to sea and come back in and strengthen. We just don't know what's going to happen. All I could do is put it in the hands of the Lord. And, you know, my house is in bad shape, and I've been here 43 years, and, you know, what comes what may, but, you know, I know there's still a God that sits on the throne of heaven,
yep.
And all I can do is put that in his hands.
So you're saying your house is taking a beating already?
Well, no, it's just old, and it needs work, and I'm disabled. I'm not able to get anything done,
yep.
As far as financially goes. And if the winds, I'm just thankful it's been downgraded from a 4 to a 1. But even with the situation, even with the way, you know, my house is, even strong enough winds, even what, 70 or 85
right.
mile gusts.
Sustained winds and things like that.
Real damn.
Yeah. And then have you, because of your disability, have you been contacted by any kind of social services to help you?
No, sir. Nobody has contacted me. I know they've got their hands full right now.
Yeah, but I'm surprised. See, that's what concerns me sometimes. It's a local issue, too. Now, this is not blaming the federal government, because the local governments are the ones who should be able to keep track of you. I wonder if we could pull the information, maybe, because David's able to use the phone, that we could give David some numbers to call if he gets in a situation where, because of, I'm not going to get you, you don't have to explain your disability, David, but that if he needs to contact someone, in his area, let's hold him, get the information to him, get the phone numbers to him, because he doesn't, these are the kind of folks, the most vulnerable, in a sense, who when things are not as bad yet, potentially, that should be able to get out. Here's what we know right now about the storm. The North Carolina governor just called it a 1,000-year rain event. There are at least 500,000 people already without power. This is just as it makes its first kind of brush with the coast beginning last night. Some places will get as high as a 9-foot storm surge. There is major flooding that comes with that at high tide, especially. I mean, you're talking 9 feet on top of high tide. It is much more than you think. I mean, those who live around water understand that a 5 and 6 foot storm surge can be very devastating to property, structures, boats, piers, things like that. I mean, if you're people living on the coast or in the bays. So a 9-foot surge is still extremely destructive. What I hope is that this does not become as life threatening, and that is obviously the biggest issue, is whether it becomes life threatening. I'm noticing that some of the networks are not 100% on this, and I wonder if that is because the storm has not yet done the damage. Thank God, by the way, yet. The damage that some people were very worried about. That's what you hope. You hope that everybody takes the preparations carefully. But let me tell you, this storm is far from over. And if that rain continues to pour and pour, suddenly it goes from maybe being a hurricane to being a flood, which is just as tough of a situation. Let me go to Andy and to Harry as well. They can go back to back. This issue of redefining a refugee. We've done a lot of work on UNRWA, the UN Relief and Works Agency. They are redefined it against how the UN defines it, which is a person is no longer a refugee if he or she has acquired a new nationality and gets protection of that country of the new nationality. So even the UN has that very specific definition, but they let their own agency change it for the Palestinians. So even if you've got citizenship, you're still technically a refugee.
Right. What they're doing, UNRWA now, the agency itself, is playing a numbers game, and it's a numbers racket, if we really want to call it what it is, by extending this definition of refugee to something that it was never intended to cover, originally displaced persons, and now we have generations and generations after, and cousins and uncles and descendants and relatives all being labeled refugees because UNRWA chooses to have this expansive definition of them when, in point of fact, they are not refugees. As you pointed out, Jordan, 2 million of the 2 million so-called Palestinian refugees in Jordan, the majority have been granted citizenship by the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. So how can you say that they're refugees when they're citizens of Jordan? And I think something else we have to talk about is UNRWA itself actually operates, and how it operates, it overlooks and doesn't talk about the fact that terrorist group activity is allowed in its camps. Its members are allowed to be members of Hamas and other terrorist groups to hold staff positions with UNRWA. It teaches children, as we have said, to demonize and delegitimize Israel using violent propaganda, and it uses false images to stir up hatred against Israel. UNRWA is the only refugee agency in the world whose purpose really is not to resettle refugees and to help them go on with their lives, but to perpetuate and to continue their status as displaced persons instead of giving them the human dignity that they deserve.
Yeah. Harry?
UNRWA has committed a massive fraud on the world by redefining the meaning of the term refugee. UNRWA is a massively corrupt, a massively bloated organization. It misuses billions of dollars for shadow refugees rather than actually helping real people. Instead of helping real people, it subsidizes terror. It's an organization that actively delegitimizes Israel, which is a nation state recognized by the UN. And so, in my view, UNRWA should be shut down.
We have got a lot of phone calls to take when we come back from this break. If you want to talk to us on the air, it is an open line Friday. We've been talking about one of our issues that we want to get you updated on, but we're ready now to take calls related to that, calls unrelated to that. 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the air. We have a lot of information up at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And like all of you, we're praying that the storm Florence, Hurricane Florence, that it does not carry out the kind of damage that it was worried and still could do. But still take the warnings of your local officials. If you are able to still watch the news, as you'll see, it looks like a lot of people got out. That's a good thing. But continued prayer for people in the way of Florence. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We said we would take a lot of calls. Let me tell you what's coming up in the second half hour. Politics. We're going to really get into the midterm elections. 53 days out, so we're less than 2 months out. On November 6th, America will decide who takes control or who keeps control. Do Republicans keep control of the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate? Is there some kind of mix where the Republicans take control of the Senate, keep control of the Senate, but lose the House? I mean, there's many different variables. There's even a variable out there right now that the Democrats could take both the House and the Senate, that things have changed enough in the races. Now, they've changed that way 53 days out. Then we'll look at it again, 33 days out, and things could have considerably changed once again, and then 14 days out, and then that final week out where things really get starting throwing, getting wild. So I think it's good, though, to get a survey of that. We'll do that in the second half hour of the broadcast. Let's take a lot of phone calls. Starting with Tina in Texas, kind of campaign related, and as someone who worked many times at campaigns where even those of us on the campaign staff were making those phone calls, I get what Tina's saying on line one. Hey, Tina.
Hi, good morning.
Hey.
My question is, what can I do to make this stop? I mean, I've contacted his campaign headquarters. I have told them, do not contact me. I mean, I feel like it's a form of either solicitation or harassment, and
the do not call list does not apply to nonprofits and political activity and issue advocacy. So because of that, you could be on the do not call list, Tina, try to add this number, and it's not going to work. And it's because they are calling specifically for an election. Everybody gets treated the same. Now, a good campaign would say, and I don't know how small of a campaign you're talking about, how large. What size can you don't have to name the candidate. What size campaign is this?
Oh, I have no problem naming it. It's Beto O'Rourke.
So a U.S. Senate campaign for a new candidate, but he's got the Democrat nomination. They go off the voter rolls and records that can be sought that you have at some point agreed to allow for solicitation. So, you've done that. We've all done it, Tina. Thousands of times without reading the small print. And the campaigns, unfortunately, now, I mean, if they're harassing you in a nasty way, that's something different. But if you mean it's just harassing for the phone to keep ringing, the one good news is it's over soon. I would say a good campaign should take you off the list. But what they do oftentimes is just print out lists for volunteers. And sometimes those lists get duplicated and triplicated. I'll say this. It's part of living in an exciting political climate. Sometimes you don't get to live in those. I oftentimes have not been able to, just based off where I was, and did not always get to experience the inundation. So because of that, I think you kind of enjoy it as part of the process as much as you can and realize it will be over. But a good campaign should remove you. And if it gets anything worse than just your phone ringing a lot, and by the way, late at night, that kind of stuff too, is problematic as well. But for the most part, they've got the ability to do it. They can keep knocking on your door and leaving you the little postcards and door hangers and things like that. 1-800-684-3110. Back to the phones. We go. Bruce calling in from Oregon on line five. Bruce, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi there.
Hey, Bruce.
You guys made a great case when Trump started his administration a couple weeks before Obama came out with an executive order saying, okay, instead of three agencies having all of our national security information, we're going to bump it up to 17. And it was outrageous. And the question I have is, did Trump amend that? Did he correct that problem? Or do we still have the same problem?
All of those different agencies, I have a feeling that's probably a problem that is still ongoingly being fixed, Andy. I mean, I think that when a president widely starts disseminating information that way, just to go back and kind of get things to the status quo is tough because he's opened up the floodgates to this information to a whole new group of people
yeah.
who will now say, well, we really do need this. So we yeah. need this, Mr. President, to keep you safe.
Right. Once the floodgates, as you say, have been opened, the agencies are going to come in and say, you can't take this away from us now. We need this. But what Obama did essentially by doing that was essentially open the floodgates to leaking. I think he was aware, and his people in his administration were aware, of the leaking of intelligence information that was going on with respect to the few agencies, that comparatively few agencies that had access to it. And then when he expanded it to add, I think it was 18 more agencies, 17 or 18 more agencies to have it, what he was doing effectively was saying, now leak away. You know, let everything come out and let it all be spread to the world of what we do in our intelligence information gathering community. And I think that was the sin of opening up the floodgates. Whether the president, current president, can undo that and unscramble the egg remains to be seen. I don't think it's going to be successful because now, as you pointed out, they're going to be saying, these agencies, we need this information. Don't deprive us of it. But what it has done is it has created an avenue for incredible leaking going on.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the big issue is the amount of leaking. The amount of people who have access to information that would be interesting to leak to a media source, that has greatly increased. But though I'll tell you that the major problems have been when it comes to those media leaks from the people who already had this information, and the next person who gets their job will have this information. So it's about culturally reforming the idea of leaks, and it's the potential prosecution of someone like an Andrew McCabe, the way he got fired even a day before his benefits vested, Harry, and potential liability, criminal liability he could be facing, that those kind of moments kind of have to happen, not just for justice for those and Andrew McCabe, who was violating his procedures and potentially the law, but also for those moving forward who come into those positions of very high power to realize what happens to you if you get caught doing this.
Absolutely. So I think you are absolutely correct in referring to Andrew McCabe, and I would also refer to James Comey, both of whom cultivated a culture of leaking in order to advance their own self-interest. And they have developed a number of acolytes like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, who have also mastered their ability to leak in order to push a particular narrative in some cases. And in other cases, they have leaked in order to corroborate uncorroborated, unverifiable, salacious documents which were used to obtain a FISA warrant. So part of the issue is to tamp down on the leaking. And in order to do that, we have to hold the leakers accountable.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, as we finish our second half hour now, and remember, we've got an open line Friday, and I will tell you, the courts, we've got a lot of great questions, a lot of great comments. Listen to this from Lindsey Graham on the leaking as we finish this first half hour up. Senator Graham.
I'm going to send a letter today to Rosenstein. These new text messages from Strzok and Page about leaking information about the FISA warrant process to the media is just one in a series of events that scream for a special counsel.
So there you go on that issue. Senator Lindsey Graham continues speaking out the need for a special counsel. We've got a second half hour coming up on Jay Sekulow Live that you don't want to miss. 1-800-684-3110. It's an open line Friday. Whatever questions you have for us, politics, law, policy, we're talking about it. 1-800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
We will fight for the right to Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hi, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. Let's go right to the phones. We've got a call disagreeing with us on UNRWA, so I think we go right off the top with that. That was our first topic, which is that we've got a new piece out in The Hill by my dad, Jay Sekulow, that why President Trump is correct in defunding this controversial UN agency, the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees. The Palestinians claim it is 5.2 million refugees. The actual estimates are somewhere at 20,000 to 30,000, but we do have a call disagreeing. Nina in California on Live 5. Nina, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, thank you. Yes, I would like to say that before people go on the radio and give some information, that they should give the correct information. It is true that the Jordan has given refugees status in Jordan. But
not just status, by the way. I just want to correct you. Citizenship, which is the ultimate status anyone can receive anywhere in the world, is citizenship in a country they can be protected in and by with a military that has a functioning government.
Half a million Palestinians who've been in our country for 70 years, and they have no health, they have no status, they cannot work. Without UNRWA, they cannot get an education. They live in camps that are a disaster, and I go and volunteer there as a nurse. And these people deserve at least some kind of health and some kind of education. The same in Syria. There are 1 million Syrians, Palestinians in Syria that do not have any citizenship, that are living in camps that are a disaster. So please, before you go on TV, on radio, and talk nonsense, get your facts right.
They this left. I mean, so some of this is that they left. If you leave voluntarily, you're no longer a refugee. That's most of the people who left during when Israel became a state. Nina, please get your facts straight as well. In Lebanon, yes, you have a government there, which is very problematic right now. I don't buy your numbers the way you do. I think it's how the Palestinians guys tell their numbers. There may have been buildings. There may have been structures. I'm not sure you're clear on what legal status they have there either. The fact that they can't get health care and living in – well, then UNRWA didn't work because the UN Relief and Works Agency was supposed to be there with – keep Nina on. With $1.4 billion, Nina – they were supposed to be the United Nations, so not America, not the bad, you know, not bad America, but the UN was supposed to be fixing all this for those people. And you're saying, Nina, they weren't.
They are not fixing
it. Okay, well, that's
Lebanon
why it's a bad program. That's why you get rid of it. I mean, that's the whole point. UNRWA needs to go, as Harry said, because even for these people who claim that, you take all these numbers as true, even though we disagree, take all these numbers as true. It's because I visit a lot of camps and they're empty. What they call camps is also buildings, not camps, like in the sense of where real Syrian refugees are living right now, like in tents. These are buildings and structures with hospital facilities, and they've kind of just continued on to become like apartment buildings. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I've just spent a lot of time in the Palestinian refugee camps because we worked with a lot of Palestinians hand in hand. That being said, I mean, Nina at least admitted that nothing ever gets done. So $1.4 billion, like the Palestinians, believe what they say, don't like them, don't believe what they say. You're somewhere in the middle, want to help people, but not pay for fraud. That's probably where I am. I want to help people, but don't want to be, you know, defrauded out of money for my government. And I want an honest answer from these Palestinians. Is that if the $1.4 billion couldn't fix it for those folks that she talked about, then it can't fix it for anyone here.
Absolutely. And so it's important to keep in mind that UNRWA spends roughly four times the amount per refugee as the UN High Commission on Refugee spends. And so what are the Palestinians getting for the expenditure of all this money?
Yeah.
Very little.
Nothing. And it's a very few amount of people who have stayed there in that situation because they do get nothing. I believe there's probably that 20 to 30 that live in pretty mediocre to bad conditions. But that is the small minority and who could be helped so quickly and with a lot less than $1.4 billion. A lot less and more direct. That the vast majority, it's a political move. If they let this number drop, the right of return that they keep asking for, it would mean nothing because it would...
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
You know, a video just played for the break, for those who watch on Facebook and Periscope, is that video is up at ACLJ.org as well. An intervention done by one of our attorneys in France. He's the European Center for Law and Justice. Very close train ride away from Geneva, the headquarters of the UN, and the UN Human Rights Agency. He was just there on behalf of Pastor Andrew Brunson. I think that shows you that global scope, the foreign policy work that we do at the ACLJ. That office has been open for many decades. And again, using French attorneys who understand, because we all work together, the significance of an American pastor like Andrew Brunson and bringing that forward, not just for their own country, man or woman, but for one of their own Christian brothers and sisters. And by the way, always helping those who are religiously persecuted, regardless of their specific faith as well. So I encourage you, check out ACLJ.org. Some of this gets missed in the madness that is the news cycle. We try to cover as much for you as possible. And let me tell you, I hope that most of you have gotten out of that storm's way as it hits. And I hope it hits much weaker than everybody predicts. And we pray for that. We pray for those who stayed behind as well, and those first responders who we know had to stay behind to help folks and try to get the power back on. I know that sounds a little premature at this point, but you know that's what they're already thinking about as some of the storms just begin really rocking in places that you know, just this morning they were surfing it, and they look very different. So 1-800-684-3110. Back to the phones we go. Tim calling in from Wisconsin on line 5. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi there. There's a couple questions I have. First of all, we're hearing about funding that's going to the UNRWA. But the question I have is, where is all this funds going? I mean, we've looked at Arafat when he passed away. His widow walked away with billions of dollars. She has in Paris right now. You have Abbas and his sons have swindled out billions also from the funding. And so they're demanding that we send them more money. But where is it going to? We basically have a group of people that are saying they want to kill Jews. They give money for blood money for doing it. And then they're turning around and sometimes they're even our citizens. And yet they're demanding that it is not our right. It's our obligation to give money to support, to further this.
I will tell you that if this money actually got to the people, they should all be living in very nice housing. I mean, maybe a giant palaces. We're talking billions a year. A year. For, believe our number, 30,000 people, they really should be living in palaces. Believe their number, 5 million. Well, okay, if it's 5 million, you get 1.4 billion plus another 300 million of outside and direct aid, 600 million, and all of this combined. Everybody should be having a pretty good quality of life. They don't. Only the elites do, and the elites are the thieves. There, they don't. There's nothing else for them to do but be thieves to be an elite. Other they may have gone to good school because schools like to reward these Palestinian resistance fighters. But other than that, they get rich off of UN programming, and it's how they get super rich. No other explanation for it. It's how they fund their terror. They don't have oil there. They don't have resources there. And unlike Israel, they haven't been creative in figuring all of those things out. That is same goes, by the way, when you look into the Gaza Strip, even much worse so. And that is not a place the U.S. is trying to send money in, though. Unfortunately, through UNRWA, you do. And we're no longer sending that money. Back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. Stephen calling Massachusetts on line 2. It's a good call for Andy. Stephen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. Hello, Jordan. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks,
and all
Stephen.
The work that you do. It's about the FISA courts. There's reports that the FISA court never had any hearings before approving the Carter Page warrants. Is there a requirement to have a hearing? And how does this reflect on the judges?
Stephen, I can answer that. We have a series of FISA judges who are appointed by the Chief Justice of the United States, and what their job is to hear applications based upon sworn evidence, either in the form of an affidavit or testimony of a federal agent to get a warrant to make a surveillance of a particular individual. So that is the hearing. They do have to have a hearing. They don't have trials. There's no juries involved. It's not the customary trial that you're thinking of, but just because you apply for a warrant before a FISA judge doesn't mean that you get the warrant. The judge has to make that determination, and it is a correct policy. There's no one on the other side, though. The government is the only person which presents evidence to the FISA judge, so you don't get the person who is going to be surveilled if the warrant is approved does not get to be heard. But that is a process that we have for generations been continuing, and that is a good process and a sound way to do it, assuming that the person coming before the judge is telling the truth and is not lying or relying upon fabricated information like a dossier and leaked information from sources that are not credible or does not have a relationship with that judge that is tainted and should not affect the judge's ultimate ruling, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be a process. It makes sense that it's not adversarial. How would you be able to do this if the other party was known to it? That being said, it's Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It was not necessarily... You have to turn the American that you may be targeting into a foreign agent so that their constitutional and normal due process protections would fall by the wayside, as if they have almost given up their U.S. citizenship. They don't go so far. They jump around some other hoops for that. But that's kind of how that process is even been deemed legal under our constitutional protections. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on the air. It is an open line Friday. We are taking all your calls, all of your comments. We're getting more and more into politics. Let me get into one of those as well. We'll start getting into a couple of those as well. Let's go to Alicia in New York online for Alicia. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Hey, so you're on the air.
What I wanted to mention was yesterday was our state primaries, and yesterday I was not able to vote as independent because apparently, I was told no one was running as independent in our state primaries. Also, my mother was turned away and wasn't able to vote as Republican, was told that this was a Democratic race where you had Keith Woodford, who was running as Attorney General as Republican. And his commercial was only aired once that we saw after the polls were closed. And also for the state Senate, Marty Golden was actually running as Republican, and he wasn't even mentioned at all. There was no airing for his running as well. So I'm just wondering, with those results coming in, and then there was no exposure for any kind of Republican that was running, where do the votes go for those that were voting outside of Democrats?
Okay, so let me ask you a couple things. You may know more about what was specifically happening, like a state rep or state senate race. One, I mean, if you have closed primaries, and New York may very well. I'm checking that now. Again, I don't have a 50 state. It does. Yeah, 50. I don't have a 50-state encyclopedia, but I am pretty good, though. New York is not usually one of the states, if you work on a Republican presidential campaigns, as I have in the past, that you're too concerned about because of a variety of factors. You do in the primary. And I believe that, yeah, those are closed primaries. So that means you as an independent, if you're actually registered as an independent, some states allow you to choose, some do not. That day, I'm assuming that in New York, I could be wrong, by the way, so don't go check with your election officials, but that if you're an independent and there are no independents on the ballot, that there may not be anybody to vote for in a primary. On the Republican side, that doesn't make sense that she wouldn't have had to at least fill out a ballot if there were candidates, even if they were unopposed, unless there's some New York law that says they're unopposed and they don't have to. No, that would not be the case. You can always write in. So I'm not sure that you guys got good information. It just sounds like your mom was definitely turned away wrong. Unless these primaries are, can we check out that are on different times? It was the gubernatorial one something different than the rest of the others? I mean, all states have different ways they do these primaries, but it was a little bizarre that, get it with the independent thing, did not understand what happened to your mom. Did they tell anything to her?
She was just told that she was not allowed to run as a Republican, that this was a Democratic race. And they just told her name was not in the books for her to vote. So,
interesting. Okay. We could do a little digging here. Listen to the broadcast in our second half hour. We're going to try to answer this question for you. If in New York everybody was up in the primaries last night, or was it just the statewide gubernatorial that was at issue because it was on a Thursday night? We'll check that for you because I want to make sure it wasn't something you were told wrong information. I appreciate your phone call. All right. We got one segment coming up as our team researches that. And a minute left in this segment. So we have about 3 minutes for you to start getting in your phone calls right now to fill up the lines. Let's get into some electoral politics. If you're hanging on the lines right now, we have a couple calls. I will get to your calls right off the bat when we come back. Let's get into some partisan politics. And let's get into where we are 53 days out before the midterm. Is there a blue wave a-coming? Can it be stopped? Could it be like a hurricane that loses energy as you get closer and closer to Election Day? People start getting a little more realistic about their pocketbooks, potentially, and things like that. 1-800-684-3110. This is the time to call. If you want to be guaranteed on the air in this next segment, you have to pick up the phone right now as I'm fading out. 1-800-684-3110. 3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's talk politics. Mini elections, the House, the Senate, the midterms, 53 days.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're about to jump into partisan politics, but I want to take these two calls first. One is pretty political. Well, let me go to that, Francisco. And by the way, Francisco has been holding on long enough now. He gets a free book, Jerusalem, signed by Jay Sekulow. Francisco, calling from Dallas, Texas, online six. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. I appreciate what you do. I believe what you do is God's work. Thank you very much.
Hey, we appreciate
that. One question. Yes, sir. One question, couple of questions. Okay, so the peace plan between the Palestinians and Israeli, what is the status of today, and will Trump use that as a forefront in the next elections? Also, the same question in regards to marijuana legislation. So the peace plan between Israelis and the Palestinians and marijuana legislation, where are we, and how will the administration use that to up their cause to get re-elected? Thank you very much.
I mean, so right now, the reason why the Palestinian Liberation Organization office has closed and that we've stopped all this funding to UNRWA, direct aid to the Palestinians, anything non-security related that helps us and Israel stay safe from Palestinian terror that may go there, that's it. Basically it now that's left. Everything else has been cut out, Harry. I mean, that's the truth is, the status is we've done everything possible in a strong approach instead of the try to give approach to say, we're going to keep taking and taking and taking away from you. We're going to take away your diplomatic accolades in Washington, D.C. We're going to take away the money we used to send you. I'm sure there's more we can take away. We could probably throw it into chaos by taking away the security services that we provide to keep that region calm. Israel, though, isn't okay with that. As our ally, we understand and we work very closely together.
So I think you're essentially correct. If you look at prior administrations, their approach was to continue to give money, to continue to fund the Palestinian Authority, the PLO, and other organizations in the hopes that peace would emerge. This administration has taken a starkly different approach. Essentially, we are placing pressure on the Palestinians, A, to stop funding terror, and B, to come to the peace table. In the absence of that, we have said you will no longer receive funding, except security funding, from the United States. I think that is the correct approach. The Palestinian Authority, the Palestinian leadership, has generally supported a program of delegitimizing Israel. Indeed, a peace agreement was essentially reached almost 20 years ago, but the Palestinian Authority walked away from it, I think in part because they wanted to continue to receive funds grounded in the notion of grievance, permanent grievances, and most of that money then funds the Palestinian leadership. And you talked about the wealth accumulated by Yasser Arafat and his widow. A similar process is going on now, I think, within the Palestinian Authority. And so all we are getting from all of this is more terror, more intifada, less peace, and more corruption. It's time to stop it.
Let's go to Chris calling in from Washington State, online one. By the way, folks, we have 5 minutes left. You've got time to get a phone call in, 1-800-684-3110. Will there be a blue wave? Is that what you think? Do you think that the Democrats could take the House and even potentially the Senate from the Republicans? I want to get your thoughts on that. Will there be a blue wave? 5 minutes left. It could be a yes or no answer. You don't have to even provide an explanation if you don't want to. If you do, that's great. 1-800-684-3110, because I kind of want to do tests 53 days out. We'll look at it 33 days out, 23 days out, and then right before. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Pete in Illinois. Hey, Pete, you there?
For your program. I listen to it all the time.
Hey, Pete.
Hello?
Yep, you're on the air.
I was just wondering quickly. I believe Judge Napolitano on Fox News yesterday or the day before mentioned that he believed that the FISA court was unconstitutional, and he said the approval rating for warrants was over 97%. But if that's true, it seems like that's a rubber stamp from the FISA court.
Yeah, I mean, I think it may even be higher than that, honestly. I think it could be like 99.3,
yes.
Like where it's barely. And oftentimes that you wonder how many times those were fix it, get it back to me, and ultimately I'll stamp it. Like how many were really just full denials that never came back. I do think this raises the issue, not so much the constitutional, but of reviewing the FISA court process so that it does not become something that's unconstitutional, Andy.
No, I think that there is a high rate of approval, and probably that means that there is a high rate, a good basis for the approval of the applications for FISA surveillance warrants that are made to the court. I'm going to assume that the federal judiciary is impartial, that the judge who hears it based upon the evidence presented by the agent and makes a really sound and reasoned and correct ruling that there's probable cause for this foreign agent to be surveilled. Now, the fact that there may be a lot, I mean, I have situations in which I present warrants to judges for searches and so forth that are ex parte, that is only one side is heard. I think I'm right most of the time, and most of those warrants are granted. But that doesn't necessarily translate to say that the court is unconstitutional simply because it approves the warrants in the vast majority of the cases. It may be because they ought to be approved.
All right, back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Chris in Washington State on line one.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
I just wanted to say that I do definitely want to remind everyone how important these elections are and whatever we can do to help, because that President Trump's warning is really important about it. We could lose a lot from these elections. I just wanted to ask a question from about a year ago about Fusion GPS and if there's been any more information about the connection with the Clintons and selling the uranium?
Well, there's an ongoing investigation of Fusion and GPS. I don't think there's an ongoing investigation of the Uranium One deal. And clearly the House is exercised and attempting to find out more and more information about Fusion GPS. I think one thing that would help is the declassification of the documents and the elimination of the redactions that are on existing documents. And that would advance the process of investigating Fusion GPS more expeditiously.
That's spot on, Harry, and that's exactly why the House committees have continued to ask for all of the documents in both investigations, as well as declassification of additional material. I know the White House is looking at that classification as we speak. I would just remind the caller, this is why we've been so concerned about the overlap with Peter Strzok inside the FBI, because he was one of the lead investigators on all of these matters, and he has shown a very specific partisan bias. So I would just encourage the caller, continue to pay attention. This is why Jay has continued to call for an outside independent counsel to look at some of these irregularities. And, you know, I would go back to a point that Andy made just a minute ago. We don't necessarily need to assume that the FISA process needs to be scrapped altogether, because it serves a very important purpose. But here's something that we know with specificity. In the case that we're talking about, the surveillance of Carter Page, the government took in information that it knew to be fraudulent and presented it before the court. The other side, the American citizen that was about to be targeted, did not have an opportunity to provide a defense. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think you're going to see Congress put forward a recommendation that there be an advocate in the room to have an opportunity, in the absence of the defendant, to present a defense. I think that's a reform that would be well needed. I'd encourage you to continue to pay attention. We'll bring you more updates on this and all of the other issues we talked about today next week on Jay.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.